Hi, everyone. Welcome back. It's your host, Matilda.
And your host, Adiza.
And your other host, Imama.
And you're listening to the Afrocalypso podcast. Everyone, welcome back to our podcast. It's actually been so long. I've missed podding, but
podding?
I think that's what it's called. The action of podcasting.
It's
podding. It's like, because I'm like young and hip. You don't know about it, yeah, Mama. No. You won't know. Mm-hmm. You won't know. Don't worry.
You're the one that doesn't know Adeola. Like,
please.
You're the one that is young people.
So welcome back, Sha, and for new people that have joined us since we last recorded, welcome. This is a podcast where we delve into different topics and just explore our identities as Africans living in the diaspora. We're also a Nigerian podcast, FYI, but we also try to delve into other African countries and like topics that surround that as well, because we have similar histories or similarities anyways. But yeah, how have you guys been since we last recorded?
When did we last record?
I think it was at the end of March, because we definitely took all of April off.
I'm trying to think.
Okay, but this year is actually flying by, Sha.
It actually is. But it actually is. But
no one's complaining.
Yeah. April was nice. I mean, what happened in April? I had my exams for school. Ooh. And yeah, April was nice. I don't know.
It was a dream.
Sha nice, Sha.
It was a dream.
It was all a dream.
But so you're done first year of your master's now.
Technically, with master's, you don't really get summer off. So I'm still in school right now.
Yeah. But like, it's still like one year down, right?
I've been. Well, no, it's just like a few months down. 1 year down would be in September.
Sorry, I was trying to.
But thank you, though. I appreciate it.
To be optimistic.
I appreciate it. Don't worry. Yeah. I'm thankful. But yeah, that was April, actually. I think April was really just like studying for exams for me. Yeah. That was it. So that's how I've been studying for exams. But yeah. I'm doing well. Thank God.
We thank God.
Yeah, what have you guys?
I mean, I'm grateful I got a job this year. We thank God.
Ooh.
Hadiza has been a busy employee. Honestly, every time we text Hadiza now, she's like, I'm sorry, I'm still doing work. And it's really interesting to see.
Gotta flex it, you know?
It's funny because when I used to do like that thing where I work overtime, you're like, I don't understand why they're stressing you like this. Welcome.
No.
I still can't. You should continue. Have fun.
No, for me, this one, I said they are paying me the extra hours. I say, okay, pile on the work because there's money there. But anyways, for me, I feel like I'm trying to actually develop a better work-life balance in the sense that, I mean, I'll just spend, like, I literally last week I did that. So last week I spent Monday to Friday doing work, and Saturday, Sunday, I didn't touch my work laptop at all.
As should be. Bruh.
Yeah. Exactly. Like.
So, I mean, I know for my future job, because this is the short-term thing, work-life balance is extremely important. Mm-hmm. But for now, you know, I'm getting experience. So
and money.
And money. So I'm like, and it's just a year. So I'm like, let me just spend my time gaining all the experience and all the knowledge and, you know, gaining all the accolades and stuff so I can find myself in a better job and, you know, better situation also.
Oh, that's nice. That's actually a smart move.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, thank you. So, that's been the highlight of my year. I'm also pretty happy it's moving quickly because it just means COVID is going to end. COVID will carry 2 years of my life.
Can you imagine? Go ahead.
Oh, another thing. I've been angry because we're still in lockdown. Yeah.
Hey, do you know what's so funny? Thing. I listened to our last episode. So, the last episode we dropped before we went on our hiatus, we said we were out
be careful with that word.
because we were out, Shay, and I went downtown to the mall, and everybody was just everywhere and was crowded. And I was like, see, they need to lock this place down because honestly, the cases are going to skyrocket. Please, I was joking.
Actually caused it because look at us. Here we are again.
Dog, for someone cannot even joke with you again.
Extension plus extra, you know. But you don't know if he's just going to lock down June to maybe July on top of it.
They're lying to us. Every single time they say at least till at least June 2nd. Don't believe
they said
them.
At least.
They said it at least.
Oh, shit. No way.
Like, I just wish they would just give us like a definite date so that I can know what I'm doing.
That's what I was saying. But for context, for people that don't live in Ontario, our premier, we've gone over this, Doug Ford. You should know him very well by now. Okay. So almost shortly after we talked about how the cases will skyrocket, they did. And then they're like, oh, we need to go into emergency break. We said, okay, we'll do the emergency stuff. And then he said, oh, sorry, the emergency break is not enough. Lockdown. Okay. So we're in the middle of lockdown. The guy says, so no.
Instead of a shutdown.
Oh, was so it? I thought it was the emergency then, break.
Yeah, no, yeah, but it was called a shutdown.
Okay. Not a lockdown. Ontario, they've given us different things.
Distinction. Yeah.
Remember, what was it? No, there's stay at home. There was emergency break. There was shutdown.
Many names.
There have been many names, but they mean the same thing to me anyways. Mm-hmm. So in the middle of, we're already in lockdown. He said, it's not going to be enough. We'll add 2 extra weeks. It'll go to what? It was like May 20th or something, right? So he did a 2-week extension of a lockdown we were already in. And we're like, oh, that's annoying, but let's go. So just last week, they started saying, oh, Doug Ford is talking about it. And this is what they always do. Instead of them to just come out and announce that there's going to be an extension, they're always like, oh, Doug Ford is talking about it.
We are speculating.
But I just come out and tell us. Then he's like, okay, we're going to extend it for another 2 weeks to at least June 2nd. So that's where we are right now, but we don't believe him. But we move. What can we do?
What can we actually do? Well, anyways, Marcella, what have you? How have you been since we last recorded?
So much has changed for me, honestly. I think Hadiza too. Yeah, like, we moved out of our apartment.
Oh, yeah, that's right.
We stopped being roommates. A new chapter. Aww. So we moved to, like, different parts, but we're both still in Ottawa. And then I started this programming course that's taking up, like, literally all my time.
I must enter tech by force.
See, I must be a tech babe.
I must tap into those dollars.
Money is at.
I'm connecting myself to that. So, I mean, technically, Mama, we're already in tech. So I was just like, it just seems like the right, like the next step. Because I think I had even said it on like one of our episodes that I've always been thinking like, what is the next step for me? Because at this point, I just feel like, you know, if I just get comfortable, I'll get comfortable. But I now realize why people just do their 9-to-5 and go and sleep. Because anything outside that just requires so much more effort.
Oh my God. Like, you literally have time for nothing.
Nothing. So it's been a lot of self-doubt, almost crying sometimes, Seth. But you know what? We move.
You know, 6 months. We talked about this here passing by really quickly. 6 months will fly by really quickly. And it's funny, you have your certificate. Is ready to get you that 100+ K job, you know?
I like that. I love that. What else?
Six-figure energy.
What else has... Oh, wow, that sentence is not easy for me. What else has happened... That's about it, honestly, for me. Hopefully they let us out for summer. Oh my gosh, I got my vaccine yesterday. I knew I was forgetting something.
Oh yeah, that's true.
Yes. So
first,
like,
the first dose
I got Pfizer, and I didn't really have any effects like that. Like,
I remember when Matilda and I were talking about getting the vaccine. Matilda was like, I don't want the AstraZeneca. I want the Pfizer.
I want the Pfizer, please.
It was so funny because it was like she was picking out shoes. Like, I don't want this one. I want that one.
What's the difference?
Like, this is...
The difference is that I think AstraZeneca, they've shown more blood clots associated to it. So, in fact, in Ontario... Both of them. But I think it's more. And I think they've even paused giving out first doses of AstraZeneca.
In Ontario.
Yeah, but I mean, no big deal. That's what my parents back in Ninj took and my sister. So, and they're alive. They're fine.
So genetics says if you take it, no blood clots, you know?
Yeah, they tested it for all of us in the genetic pool. But shout out to them. Okay, so before we actually hop into today's topic, we have some kind of news. It might be bad news, but actually good news ultimately. So in the long run, this is good news. We're dropping this episode right now because, you know, we said we were going to drop an episode in May. We are very big on accountability to our listeners, but after this episode, we're not going to drop till August. So we're doing this because we are currently trying to restructure the podcast in a way. We're working on it and we need this summer to proper add structure to the podcast and, you know, all the good stuff. So when we come back in August, the reason why we said it's ultimately for the good is because when we come back in August, we're going to be more focused and much, much better as a podcast. So y'all watch this space. Oh, we're starting a YouTube. Yes.
Oh, yeah, we are.
Yeah, we are starting a YouTube. And this time we're not actually just talking because, you know, a lot of times we say things and we don't do it. But this time we're for real. So we're going to do giveaway. And it's $100 Canadian. Please note, Canadian, not USD. Because
there's a difference.
There's a difference. Go and check Google. There's a difference. But we're giving away $100 Canadian in an Amazon gift card. And that just allows you to be able to access it wherever you are in the world. Because cannot guarantee you that we can send cash back to Nigeria. Because did you know they've been doing this thing where you can only send USD back to Nigeria?
Yep.
I don't know why they do that.
I had no clue.
Really?
Yeah, like literally no clue.
Yeah, your people are not in Nigeria again now. That's why. Jackpot. But yeah, so just to reiterate ourselves in case you didn't hear us, $100 gift card from Amazon. So all you need to do to enter the giveaway is follow our social media accounts, Instagram and Twitter at AfricaLipsoPod. If you have Facebook and you want to do it, you can also follow us on Facebook, but then, you know, and also our YouTube and all these social media things are going to be in our show notes and post us on the story of your choice because Twitter has stories now, Shibi.
Apparently.
Yeah. So just follow us on all the things we just mentioned and then post us on the story of your choice. Don't forget to tag us so we actually know that you did this thing. And then we'll put you in a draw and just do a random selector and pick out the winner. So $100 if you are feeling like being rich, you know, $100 would change my life. I don't know about you.
Change your entire life.
Not your entire life. I don't know. But $100, honestly, when I was in school, $100 is a lot of money.
Yeah, no, that is true.
Now I just cough and $100 goes. But yeah.
Sorry.
You know.
Big money, Matilda, I love to see.
No, but you act like it's not true. Like with adulting, $100 really isn't. It's money, but it's like... But this is not to discourage you. Just this is a free $100. But yeah. So do that, and once you follow us, anyways, on our YouTube, we're going to be dropping content shortly. So while we're gone, this is actually a way for you guys to keep up with us, and you actually get to see our faces this time, so it's pretty cool. So
and we are pretty fine, babes. Just gonna put it out
there. We are.
Get to enjoy the beauty, but yeah.
So let's jump into the topic.
Okay.
All right. So today we're talking about our relationship with body weight as we've, you know, aged and stuff like that. And I only thought about this topic because during quarantine, for me, I don't know about everybody else, but I have gained so much weight. And
17 pounds.
You know? And like, honestly, I'm starting to have like this weird relationship with my body because before I was so active, like I never like cared about like what I ate, so I never was on all these diets or anything, but I was like super active. I also play basketball and like all these kind of things. Like I work out everywhere, but I work from home now and like I don't do much, so like I've been gaining a lot of weight. And I was just thinking, how many people are going through this as well? And like, how have people actually dealt with like weight growing up, especially in Nigeria? For me, like, people comment on your weight, it's like saying hello. Like when you see someone after a long time,
yeah,
they say hello.
You've lost weight, are you suffering, are you gaining weight, what's happening?
I don't know, it's just weird. So I just wanted to talk about it and hopefully come to a peace with it at the end of this episode. I'm looking at it as almost a therapy session, but but also talking about it objectively in our society and everything.
Screaming.
Let's use that. Please one.
Drop your 150 into my bank account at the end of this episode. Thanks and God bless.
Please. Oh my gosh, therapy is so expensive. How can you say 150? Like, who can afford?
It's so expensive.
Man,
that is how much it is.
Therapy is very expensive, but on top of mental health, I'm not kidding anybody.
I think it is like Mental Health Awareness Month or something like that.
Is it?
1 second, let me confirm.
Sorry, yeah?
Sorry, Imama. No, go ahead.
Oh, what I wanted to also go over was Nigeria. We haven't talked about the state of Nigeria before we jumped into the topic.
Look at the state of your body.
Giving me additional headache.
I really like, I don't know, I like updating, and like, we're in Nigerian podcast now, we should care about what's going on.
Yeah, update them now.
Why are you angry?
tonight in Nigeria.
Oh, so it's Mental Health Awareness Week.
Mama actually said, please dead that one. Okay, go ahead.
I mean, we can go back to this, but like, it is Mental Health Awareness Week. Yeah, update them on Nigeria.
Yeah, update them. I have something I want to say on mental health too, so I'm with you, Mama, but I also want to indulge into the toxicity of Nigeria a little bit.
Exactly. When it toxic relationship, sometimes you have to talk about it.
I'm not in toxic relationship.
Yeah, I've already left relationship. Maybe we should continue.
you have it. What's the color of your passport, Mama?
Please free that stuff. It's all about your mind.
Yeah, okay.
Where are you mentally?
Sure. If Canada deports you today, where will you go?
They won't deport me in Jesus' name.
You mentioned. Amen. Okay, so Nigeria. The state of our insecurity is actually very scary right now. All I've been seeing is kidnap.
No, it's honestly so sad, to be honest.
Is it just me? Is Twitter becoming this place for like missing people and stuff? Have you been seeing a lot? Like when you scroll down your Twitter,
missing people like reported.
Do you think it's that people just started posting and then people are posting more about it? Or do you think that this is new?
Like, securities have gone up legitimately.
Yeah, I think securities have definitely gone up. But also, I think people have found that a lot of people have been found by, like, you know, somebody seeing something on social media. Mm-hmm. So I think they're finding that, oh, it's also kind of like a sensible way to report, like, you know, people being missing. And like, they do get found that way. So mm-hmm. I think that's sort of the reason why it's become more active in that, just because people have seen the results, essentially. Mm. And they're like, okay, I guess we have to use this, or we can use this.
Yeah. Did you guys hear the story about that girl that was looking for a job and got killed and stuff?
Yep.
Yeah.
Should I say her name?
It was so sad.
Yeah, her name is Hini Omoren or something. I think that's how it's pronounced.
Her name is actually Ini, but her Twitter handle was Hini.
Oh, her name is Ini. There's a full name, isn't it?
Yeah.
Oh, her name is Inobong. Yeah. Inobong Hini. Umoren, yeah. So what had happened is she just graduated or something, and then she was going to look for a job, and then this guy messages her and says she's come for an interview. And then I think that was like pretty much the last time they heard of her, and then they put it on Twitter, and then they were looking for her, and they eventually traced it to this one guy, and he apparently raped and killed
and
her.
His family, really. It was like him, his sister, his dad.
It was a whole thing.
Like, apparently, there's even this story. I can send you guys the link, but like, there's this story uncovered by this one journalist, just like, you know, breaking everything down.
The
like,
David guy?
The guy. Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I posted David, it on our social media.
Hondayan?
Yeah. You should be able to see the thread. When I read through it, it was crazy. Like, apparently there's like this whole thing where they think that it's related to like bigger people, like there's bigger fish behind it.
It's not just this one person.
Yeah. I think it was really fishy because initially the police all of a sudden tracked this one guy down and pinned him down. People are like, that's fishy. Like, Nigerian police don't work this fast. They don't resolve cases this fast. So what's going on? So this guy went and he tracked like phones and stuff like that. And then some civil servant guy is involved. They've said like some members of the Akwa Ibom National Assembly are also part of this whole scheme. They've theorized that it's either like a ritualist thing where they're like harvesting organs or harvesting people for rituals, or like for the black market for like organs and stuff like that.
Organ trafficking.
Organ trafficking, pretty much. Yeah. But that's scary.
Yeah, it is.
So scary. Like, literally, the insecurity in Nigeria is, like, the way it has risen. Like, there actually is even now a curfew. Mm-hmm. And, like, they're saying, oh, the curfew is corona-related, but it's not. It's
you think?
Security-related. No. I don't think it's corona-related at all. It is security-related.
Really? Is it that bad? You can't even control...
12 midnight. Like, ooh. For corona, like, people are not really yeah, I feel like if
and also I'm pretty sure Nigeria has forgotten about Corona at this point.
Yeah,
yo, every time I see snaps from people in Nigeria, I'm just like, us were in lockdown. Is it that? Like, is there a different pandemic in Nigeria? Is that it is
correct?
Yes. Okay.
Also, oh my gosh, did you guys see about did you guys see the thing about Aso Rock getting infiltrated?
No.
Wow, where have you guys been?
No, okay, so here's the thing. I now scroll past Nigerian news. So I'm saying this because this is my space to reindulge Nigerian news, but recently, honestly, I've been overwhelmed by like the negative news coming out of Nigeria. And just because I guess I have an option right now to like plug out, I've been doing that. But what's the thing in Aso Rock?
Well, apparently they said that armed robbers invaded Aso Rock.
It's about time though.
But like, but the thing is that so some news places, how do you call them, news agencies in here? How do you call them?
Newsrooms, news houses.
Some news agencies reported that Aso Rock got infiltrated. So essentially, armed robbers like invaded Aso Rock. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
But
what's that guy? That one that's always talking on behalf of Buhari. That is. Assistant, I don't know. Anyways, well, I don't know what his name is, but some guy has always talked on behalf of Buhari. He was like, oh, that like, you know, it's fake news and it's not true. So I guess like there's really no way to fully confirm, but it's funny because like right after that news came out about like Aso Rock getting infiltrated, like that it was either that day or the day after that the curfew lockdown. was
announced.
Imposed. So it's like
guys, they've broken into Aso Rock, none of us are safe. It's like them you that saying they broke into though. The white house. I'm saying it's like you know, I know it's not the same thing, but like at least with America, like usually you can go on the lawn, take pictures with the White House and stuff like that, but none of us actually know how Aso Rock looks because they don't even let you near it.
I genuinely thought it was a rock all my life.
Oh god,
like, I thought it was like a rock and maybe like inside was like one door shake it and then like you open the door and then you
but how would we know? I've never seen Aso Rock before. I've never even seen a picture of Aso Rock, so honestly, I mean same. it really could be
a rock. So honestly, if you're laughing at me, but I could be right.
You really could be right.
No, there's a door that you enter into the rock and that's like where the whole stuff is.
Yo, but in summary, Nigeria is actually falling apart. Dollar rates going down, insecurity going up.
You mentioned something about Nigeria only accepting USD or something.
Yeah, like when you send money back to Nigeria, you
have to convert to USD first.
Yeah, you send it in USD, the people can only withdraw it in USD.
Yeah.
Oh, crazy.
And yeah, the inflation rates too going up, joblessness.
Unemployment.
It's going up too. It's just everything. But I honestly don't know.
Pray
yeah.
for Nigeria.
Pray for Nigeria, please. Yeah, pray for Palestine and Israel. I guess pray for Palestine, not Israel. But like, I don't know. I don't really understand the news coming from there, to be honest. I've been reading a couple of like get to know what's going on, but I'm just like, why is no one doing anything about it then?
Because
I feel like it seems so polarized.
In what way?
I don't know. It just like the Palestinian versus Israeli conflict is always so polarizing. Like if you,
I'm sorry, what does it mean for something to be?
Yeah, like I'm like expatiate on that.
I'm trying to understand. Process.
Oh, polarizing as in like, how do I explain it? It's like the Hutu versus Tutsi thing. Like it's very
It's not helping. Like that explanation is not helping me. Yeah, sorry.
No.
I don't know what.
The no. Just is. Oh, that's the Rwandan thing, the genocide.
Like the
but that wasn't even. I guess so. I guess you can compare that, but then explain like, what you mean by polarizing in that situation, though.
So, in the sense that whenever I listen to either side, it doesn't. I don't know how to explain.
But the Hutus were wrong.
I haven't paid attention to what's going on right now with the Israeli/Palestinian conflict. But I know before when I was looking into it, like because I mean there has always been conflict. This is not like the first time and stuff. Yeah, it's always been very poor. Like Hutu and Tutsi is not a good example. But then polarizing in the sense that there is no middle ground, none. Yeah.
I don't really understand, but okay.
Because I think the major conflict they have is usually about ownership of
like,
land.
I understand the conflict. Mm-hmm. Like I understand what's going on. Mm-hmm. Like I've read about it, and like you know, mm-hmm. I also have like Palestinian friends, so mm-hmm. I have like I kind of know what's going on. But like mm-hmm. I guess like I just don't understand it being so polarized. That's the part that I'm a little bit confused about.
I guess maybe you mean it's like dicey and it goes back like many years, kind of
yeah,
thing.
Yeah. Okay. Maybe that's the right.
Like it's complicated.
Yeah.
Yeah, it is and everything, but still, like, I looked at some graph and stuff about, like, you know, the amount of people that have been killed, the amount mm-hmm. of places of worship that have been attacked on both sides. And it's not mm-hmm. even, like, it's not comparable. Close. It's not exactly. comparable at all. So it's just like, mm. how are we sitting back? And we've said this multiple times on this podcast. The UN is honestly like, what are they doing? What have they ever done? Because again, to compare like the Rwandan genocide to this, they also don't do anything.
Yeah.
They truly just stand back. I thought you guys were for world peace, but here is something that is going on. Like, I don't know. I don't know what yeah. to say. I don't know what to do. Like, in these kind of times, I just feel so powerless. But yeah, we can just bring awareness to it, and that's all. So mm-hmm. y'all go check that out. Pay more attention to what's going on. I don't know how that's going to cause change, but yeah. Imama, you were talking about mental health, please.
Oh, I was just saying that this week is Mental Health Awareness Week. I was just saying it just because we're talking about like the price of therapy.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Wait, Imama, please. You went and you came back like you were about to say something.
No. I didn't really have anything special to say. I was just going to say, like, we're talking about the price of therapy. So I was like, oh, yeah, this week is Mental Health Awareness Week. So I'll be aware. Like, yeah.
Hadiza, you also said you had something to say about it. Why?
Oh no, I look at therapy as putting money towards healing things that, you know, it's kind of like, so with a physical ailment, for example, let's say you have a broken feet, like your feet is broken or your arm is broken, right? And it's not something that has ever been addressed since you were growing up or something like that. But then you now have an opportunity to address it. The technology is out there to address it and stuff like that. I see therapy as like, it's expensive, but I also see as a good expense if I get a good therapist, for example.
Guys, if you have money, I swear. Because you can't actually fix what you don't have money for. Like, you can't.
That makes sense.
Absolutely can't. Like, sense. What do you mean 850 per hour? If I don't have a job, where am I getting that from?
Yeah, I agree. 100%. Like, I feel like
therapy should be made more accessible. Even if I had a job and if it wasn't covered, I don't know what to do. I'm serious. Like, if I had a job and it wasn't covered by my insurance, like, 150 per hour, I could only do like one session a month. And what does that do for anybody? Like, no, because I mean, think about it. You do one session, you go back, you come back, all of you have forgotten what you talked about. You have to start again. Like, no,
it's true. It's honestly, I feel like they should make therapy more accessible and stuff like that. But yeah. I feel,
but for now, we have this podcast, so I guess we move.
I'm screaming.
Okay, so let's just go through, like, you know, our relationships with our weights over the years. Pretty much, who wants to go first?
Okay, so let's do body weight over the years. So, like, I feel like growing up, I've kind of always been like the bigger kid. Like, I was always like, yeah, I was literally always the bigger kid. And I feel like this is also the same thing about, like, with colorism for me. And okay, I'm about to explain it. So the reason why it's slightly the same for colorism for me is because, so, like, I'd go outside and I'd, like, go everywhere. And, like, you know, people will always make comments on my way because obviously Nigerians don't know how to behave. So, like, they will literally make comments and everything. But, like, back home, it's like my parents did a lot to, like, reinforce the fact that, guy, you are beautiful. Like, you know, it doesn't matter that, like, you know, this person's saying you're slightly bigger or what, yada, yada, yeah. So it's like, even though, like, outside, they were, like, people, like, you know, saying all these things or whatever, I'm not going to say, like, you know, I never really thought about my weight as something that could be better or, like, I could be slightly smaller. I'm not saying that. But I don't think I've ever in my life wanted to be skinny. If anything, I just always wanted to be healthier. So, like, I always wanted to, like, lose weight, to be healthier, to be more fit. Because growing up, like, I used to do all the sports, I was kind of spoken about, like, taekwondo, swimming, yada yada yada. So even though I was always on the bigger side, I mean, I wasn't obese or anything. Like, I was fit, I could do things, I could run and all of that. So as I grew up,
oh wait, mama, didn't you tell, like, when we were in secondary school, you told us they used to put you in the fat people's race in primary school.
Guys, let me tell you,
can we address that? What the actual hell?
It's funny. So in primary school, we had this thing called fat people's race. And
Nigerians don't know how to act.
What is it? Nigerians really do not know how to act. I actually don't know if it's a thing. I hope it's not a thing anymore. But then again, it's like, I remember, like,
I've never heard of that being a thing.
I'm trying to remember how I felt.
Well, it was actually in Imama's school, so surely it was a thing.
But I can't remember how, I'm actually trying to recall how I felt, and I really cannot remember. But I don't know if I was really offended, especially because, like, I was the smallest, fattest person, so I would always win the race. Because
not like, this bro.
Like, I was the most fit out of all the fat people. So it's like I said, even though I was always on the bigger side, I was not really, like, big. but like I wasn't skinny.
But think
like,
about it, you were also being reinforced about your self-worth and like not associating that to your person at home, right?
Yeah,
not that everybody in that race probably had that.
Yeah, I mean that is true. But I remember, I think the first time actually, one of the first few times that I remember, let me say the first time, but like one of the first few times that I remember actually ever feeling really self-conscious about maybe was probably in year 7. I think that was maybe the first time that's like when I got to secondary school that I remember like feeling self-conscious about my weight. But like I even remember like I went home from the summer I went home for the summer and I came back and I was fine. Like it didn't really oh my gosh, they used to call me, what's that thing? They used to call me year 7.
Oh.
Oh god, I think it was like,
it the ball or something?
Yeah, I think it was like ball or something like that, or like bag of rice. I can't remember. It was something very, very mean.
What is our problem?
It was something very mean. And like I said, like even though I was, because I was even looking at pictures back then and like, I'm like, I was definitely bigger than most kids, but like I wasn't a fat child. I was just bigger than like most kids. But yeah, I remember, like I said, I was always reinforced back home. So as much as like I knew that I could be healthier and I could be fitter, actually I didn't even start thinking about being healthier and fitter in secondary school. It was when I started getting older, when I got into university and I stopped being as active, and obviously I started putting on more weight. That's when I was like, okay, I can be fitter, I can be healthier and stuff like that. And I also wanted to be like stronger as well. So like I love lifting and like I've always wanted to be like really, really strong and like have muscles, and like that's always kind of been my goal. So it's like for me, I mean, obviously, I'm not going to come here and say I've never thought, or like, you know, I've never had moments in my life where I have like looked at myself and said, oh, you can be skinnier. Obviously, I feel like, I'm not going to say everybody, right, but obviously I have had those moments. But I feel like my relationship with weight is like less about me feeling like, oh, like, you know, I don't look beautiful the way I am or whatever. And it's more me feeling like, okay, you look great the way you are and I love you as you are. But like, we do know that you can be healthier and you can be fitter and you can be stronger. And if you can be healthier looking like this, that's great. If, you know, being healthier means he has to lose some pounds, that's also great. So, like, that's kind of been my relationship with weight, especially when I got older and I got less active and I started putting on pounds. Mm-hmm. I think that's when, like, that relationship evolved. But when I was younger, it was really just, it was lots of positive reinforcements at home. So, I never really had... I mean, like I said, I did have like moments where people outside would say things that were mean. And like, you know, maybe in like that moment for like 1 or 2 minutes, I would feel bad or like feel sad about like me being like fatter than my sister, or like me being like, you know, fatter than like this child beside me. Like I definitely had those moments where I did feel bad, but like ultimately, I don't remember it being a thing that like truly bogged me down for like a long period of time. Mm-hmm. Like I never did diets, all those things. Like I like my food.
You lost a lot of weight between, I think it was like year 8 and year 9 or something.
It was actually year 7 and year 8.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. I think I recall, I don't think it was year 7 or year. I think it was year 8 primarily.
It was I think it was the summer between year 7 and year 8.
What was that about? Was that,
I don't know. Like,
on purpose? It wasn't.
No, it wasn't. It wasn't on purpose, because I didn't go home. And because it's actually funny, because like I said, at home, even though I've always been bigger, like at home, if it's like, oh, like, you know, like calling me fat, I'm not going to eat. My parents would literally, like, my mom would literally feed me like the biggest ever. And like all these things. So it's like, I didn't really have like, there was not anything at home that was like, oh, you have to lose weight or you have to like, you know, not eat as much or whatever. So like, I did not do anything to lose that way. I think it was probably just maybe puberty or like me growing up. I don't know. Maybe it's just a thing that happened. But yeah, I didn't actively. Also, I never worked out when I was a child, because I don't think children should work out.
No, I don't think, like, I don't think it was working. I don't think children should work out. I think they should just do activities. Like, and as a kid, you're usually very active. So active, I don't, like, children going to like gyms and stuff like that, that sounds funny to me. I think it's just because we have less activity as we grow older, generally. Mm-hmm. But
but no, I didn't do anything. I'm not sure what happened then. Maybe I
remember thinking you did it on purpose, just because I think it was the year that you got a boyfriend or whatever, and all of a sudden you started getting I think I just thought about it like that when we were in secondary school.
But I do remember that it was like, it was definitely right before I got into year 8, and I didn't have a boyfriend until like...
No, that's why I think I noticed...
Maybe you were stressing hard.
Crying. No, but I think I actually recall you starting to lose a lot of weight after you started seeing him, but then that might have been in my head. We're in secondary school, I don't know.
Yeah, but I don't know, but I know I didn't do anything. It just... it just happened. I was still eating. Like, don't you remember, like, I used to, like, when people couldn't finish their food in the dining hall, I used to take their food sometimes.
Gosh. I don't ever really recall you eating, like, crazy amounts. And that's one of the things, like, I think we need to address, because there were two girls that were in our set and, like, they used to eat. Like, I mean, they would take, like, 6-7 slices of bread when they actually just used to give us four. That kind of thing. But those girls were slimmer than, like, some other people. So it's just this weird relation that we've made to, like, eating and being bigger, because it's not really directly linked. But yeah. Hadiza, how about you?
I mean, growing up, I was called Orobo.
Like, you?
Really?
Oh, yeah, I've seen pictures. Oh, I remember. Okay.
Yeah. So, like, I've always been, I wouldn't say I was big. I was just chubby. But then people still used to call Orobo anyways.
And by the way, Orobo is Yoruba for fat.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But then I think for me, I got a lot of mixed signals, because there'd be people who would see me and be like, oh, Orobo, Orobo. But then there are also people who would see me and be like, yeah, I keep eating. Like, I come from a family that people are relatively big.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I have women in my family that are proper big and stuff like that, right? So it didn't really do me until I got secondary school. And I got secondary school, and in first year, I basically starved myself, like, consciously.
Mm-hmm.
Like, because I was like, okay, yeah, I want to lose weight now. And then I did that, and then it went away. And in secondary school, it's easy, because once you miss lunchtime or dinner time, like, that's it. You don't eat, right?
Mm-hmm.
At least in my secondary school, that's how it was. So I basically lost all the weight in, like, first term of, like...
first year? I'm sorry, year seven.
Secondary school, year seven, okay. Yeah. Then I came to Canada, and I didn't think of weight for the longest time until... I think second year of university or third year of university. And I started weirdly being, like, obsessed with my weight.
Like, well, yeah, I remember that. You were, like, counting calories and stuff like that then, too.
Yeah, I was counting calories. I would weigh myself. Like, I was obsessed.
What triggered that?
I feel like because I was struggling with a lot of things, so the next thing to try and control is my weight.
Mm.
So it's like, okay, I was struggling and I was stressed. Like, it's kind of like I found the next thing to kind of latch on to, essentially. And my weight was it and stuff. So I think maybe it was kind of like, if I could control my weight, then I could control something. I had control over something. And so I couldn't control my weight, and that added to the stress. But I mean, I guess eventually I kind of stopped also, because I guess stress has levels, and there's a level of stress that I was no longer thinking about my weight at all. Like, it didn't even come to my mind. So yeah, like, I don't know, like, I've struggled with my weight quite a bit and stuff like that. Like, especially in second year leading up to, like, maybe close to my final year. Final year, I didn't think of my weight at all. But, like, second year, close to my final year, I struggled with my weight quite a lot. And it's painful. Like, I feel like when you're going through that process of trying to control your weight, or trying to putting yourself down because of your weight or how you feel like you look and stuff like that, it's really, really, like, I feel like if you're not careful, you just keep going and going and going and going, and you just keep finding new ways to depress yourself with things like that. That's what happened for me. And then COVID happened, and I don't know what happened, but I lost a lot of weight.
You weren't eating.
How?
She wasn't eating. That's the thing.
But then,
I mean, I lived with you.
Yeah, but it wasn't like I did it on purpose.
No, you didn't. But there was a lot going on in your life. Do you get what I mean?
Yeah.
So I feel like that's why you weren't eating. But it was just a byproduct of that. Do you get?
Yeah, no. I'm not saying that I did it consciously. I was just saying that.
Oh, no, I wasn't saying you did. No, this is, I'm just making the relation because I lived with you, so I could see.
Oh, okay.
Do you get what I mean?
Yeah. So yeah, so it's weird. Like, I don't know. I don't really think of my weight that much anymore, I guess. I don't know. I don't really know, but I guess I have struggled with my weight. That's basically it. Yeah.
Oh, I wanted to add something to my story.
Your excitement kills me always, but yeah, go ahead.
And it's funny because it's actually never anything exciting. It's just like something I just thought of. But I was gonna say, I mean, I actually do. I know, like, you know, I've made it sound like, oh, I don't care about my weight. I actually do care about my weight, and I have thought, like, I also think about my weight sometimes. But like, I feel like for me, like I said, it's obviously becoming like healthier and fitter. But like, I also like, I've never really wanted to be skinny, but like, I have wanted to like lose weight to appear as what I think would look better. So I have like wanted to lose like maybe like 10 pounds, just because like, you know, I think like I might look better that way, especially if like there was a point in my life where I looked a specific way and I just want to go back to looking that way. But at the end of the day, as much as I have thought about losing weight, most times it's like I want to be fitter first. And I think, like, you know, being fitter for me anyways would also come with weight loss, just because currently I don't do anything. So I think if I do, like, you know, start back with activities, it definitely will come with weight loss.
Yeah.
But yeah.
Yeah. And even if it doesn't, it comes confidence that, I mean, for me, I feel like whenever I look at people, I see confidence like more than anything.
More than their weight. Yeah.
Like, literally, regardless of what their body type is, like, there's some big girls that I've seen, I'm just like, bro, like, you look good. I don't know. Like, it's just confidence. And even for me, like, even right now, I'm focusing on things. I mean, I want to grow certain parts of my body. You know, I want to add weight.
I just said, glutes games or whatever.
Yeah, you know what I'm talking about. No, I don't have to say too much. But it's also like, also my back too. Like, I'm trying to strengthen my back again also. Cause
oh my gosh, me too.
Yeah, with doing that, like, I feel like I would look more confident. And looking more confident will allow me to be confident regardless of what I look like and stuff like that.
Mm-hmm.
But I don't know. Matilda, how about you?
Matilda.
I guess my relationship with weight over the years has been kind of complex, because I was never actually a fat child. And this is what frustrates me so much, because I look back at like my secondary school self, which is when I feel like I actually started thinking about weights, and I wasn't big, but in my mind, if you recall, I always used to like call myself fat and stuff like that. But then I wasn't, like, I was never, like, there hasn't actually been so any point in my life that I've been fat.
Yeah, she was not fat at all.
But then I think it started when I went to secondary school, because I think growing up, there hasn't really ever been any comments on my weight, because again, I was average sized. I wasn't too skinny. I wasn't ever really fat. But then I remember in secondary school, just comparing myself with other people. When I came back from school, like, it's this weird thing, especially in Port Harcourt. I don't know, when they come back, they're like super skinny and they lose what they term as baby fat. So I guess when I went to school, they expected me to come back and also be skinny. But then I come back and then people are like commenting on my weight. And it's the first time I ever experienced that kind of thing, because no one ever really commented on my weight growing up. But I'd come back and they'd be like, I thought you were in school. And this is adults, by the way. It's never the kids. The adults are like, I thought you went to school. Oh my gosh. They're like, I thought you went to school. How come is that you're gaining weight? You're not losing weight. It's as if your school is not making you suffer. I don't know what that comment was, but just stuff like that. Then comparing myself to my peers that were also coming back from secondary school and looking thinner, because the thing is, when you're in school, you're less fed, honestly, than you are at home. And I guess you're going through school stress. So I guess a tell of like the fact that you are reading and studying well is the fact that you'd lost weight. So I think that was when my pressure on my weight started. So I started feeling like I was fatter and stuff like that. So I used to go on all these diets. Like, I remember one point where I literally wasn't eating at all. Like, I would only eat lunch and then I wouldn't eat dinner. And like, I'd be starving. At some point, I even started puking my food when I would get so hungry. And no one ever noticed, because like, there's this period after dinner before prep where I would literally just go back. Nobody's in hostel. Everybody's walking around the field. And say like, I ate lunch, and I got really hungry at dinner and I ate. And then I started feeling disgusted with myself. So I'd go back to hostel and like vomit and everything. Okay.
Oh, I definitely never noticed that.
Not really a thing you want to share. Just put your hand down your throat and like, you know, force it out. So then I think that was like year 8, year 9 or something. And then I went back home after that semester or term. And then people started commenting and they're like, oh, wow, you've lost a lot of weight. And I took it as a good thing, like as a compliment. I'm like, huh, it's working, you know? So, you know, sad. Yeah, like, you know, they don't even ask you. They don't want to know how you lost the weight. They just want to know that you lost the weight.
And you lost,
again, Nigerian adults. So I looked at it as reinforcement to continue like dieting. I mean, I think I struggled with that vomiting thing for like not that long of a time, because after a while it doesn't feel so good. Like sometimes you can't even hold food down because you've gotten so used to puking your food. And I think I was like reading books too at that time where people had that issue, because I didn't know it was like an actual issue. Like it's, I think it's called bulimia.
Bulimia,
and I found out about it reading these Nancy Drew books or like one of those like books, and I realized like it's an actual problem that people diagnose people from reading like fiction. I said, please, I cannot have that one. So I just changed that, but I was still always on diets, always calling myself fat. And then there was this time I had this school mother, I think she looked at me as a project or something, because it was so random. She was like one of the popular kids in her set or whatever. And then I think she looked at me as one day she just called me and she's like, you're my school daughter. And I'm like, okay.
I can never forget. I was so confused as to how that relationship began.
But I was like, I've never even talked to you, sis. What is this? I think she looked at me as like a project. And
so what did she do exactly?
So she's just like, oh yeah, now that you're my school daughter, you know, you have to stop eating fish. Remember that you have to stop eating dinner, you have to, you know, you have to lose a little bit of weight. And I was like, edaku. But I mean, I didn't think of it like that. I looked at it as like she was even helping me, because I already thought about it like that. But I think time went on, and I think towards when we were leaving school, I started doing much more sports. So at the beginning, I played soccer a little, but then our school never took female soccer seriously. So then they started taking basketball. Female sports. No, there are schools, like all these westernized schools, like, you know, AIS.
Is your school not westernized?
No, not like a American international school, do you get? My school was somewhere in between.
Actually, I feel like that's actually the perfect way to describe us. We were very in between.
Very, very in between. So I think westernized schools cared about female sports and stuff. But us, we didn't. We were somewhere, as Imama also said, somewhere in between. So they started caring about basketball. They formed a basketball team. And then I started playing much more sports. We'd go there and fail. Imama, do you remember that Akofa?
I remember,
We went for this game Akofa and we did so badly, but we're there, Sha, and we practiced. We're there,
exactly.
Well,
oh my gosh, like our coach was actually, he was actually quite supportive.
He was, but I think it was just the school culture, because it's like, while he wanted us to play, guys would get to play over the weekends, but they would lock girls hostel because they said so that we don't fraternize with the boys, do you get? And then the basketball court was closer. The basketball court and the field and everything was right next to like boys hostel, so like it's almost like they're like sports guys, females being locked up. So it's just God,
even in my school, the sports fields were closer to the boys' hostel.
Coincidence? I think not.
No, I don't think so. That's crazy.
It's crazy.
My first school, actually, our girls' hostel didn't even have, because I went to an all-girls school, right? But it was Turkish, so like it was all girls, all boys. And
in the same compound, but they don't mix.
In the same compound, but they don't mix. Yeah, exactly. So the boys' hostel had full on, like, you know, proper sports facilities and stuff like that. Girls hostel only had basketball courts, and we would literally be struggling to find basketball. Like,
oh my god.
Yeah,
so
we should have a discussion one day on like all girls and all boys secondary school.
We should.
I think it is very interesting.
Oh my gosh. But yeah, I'm writing that down.
Conversation.
Yeah. Okay, so then in my senior secondary school days, I started getting more into sports, playing basketball, running long distance and stuff like that. So okay, then I started losing weight without even trying. And that kind of moved on to like when I came to Canada. I was also playing basketball here in CIC. Then I moved on to undergrad. I made it basically normal because gyms were now openly available to me. So I always like, I ran, I did sports, I played rec leagues and stuff like that. Then pandemic hits. And now I'm working from home. I'm not really going out. All the gyms are locked. No rec leagues and everything. And I just saw my weight put on weight like crazy. And at some point, I don't think I'm in that space anymore, but I would say just last month, I was in that space of panic. Like this, like, just this, like, where is this coming from? Like, literally. But it makes sense because,
like,
yeah, I felt like doomed, almost like it felt like I wasn't comfortable in my body because this is not the body I'm used to, kind of thing. And I had never had to pay attention to it again. Like, I thought it was something that had, I thought it was something that had left me because I hadn't had to think of it. But I now found that it was a thing that was still within me, even though I just haven't had to pay attention because I've been active. So I was just like, this is a conversation. And I wonder if other people, I really do want to know if other people are going through that, because a lot of us are less active. And no matter how much I say I want to do workouts at home, it's really not the same for me. Like, a lot of my weight loss came from playing basketball. It's very intense. And like running, even though now I can start running outside because it's starting to get warm, but this was like dead of winter. I can't go running outside. I can't run at the gym because it's locked. So it's just all of this.
People that run would never know fascinates me.
Sorry?
I said people that run will never not fascinate me.
Why?
Like, it's people just that like run. Running just seems like, it just seems like the most stressful thing to put on your body. Like, why are you running to and why?
I knew you were going to say something like that.
Where are you running to? Workouts, like, to be honest, like, I genuinely enjoy working out. Like, I love, like, lifting and, like, you know, stuff like that. But, like, running...
Your mama sounds like a good fighter. No.
You guys, especially in Toronto, like, if you go Toronto downtown, I'm like, if there's no...
Just be running. Just be running.
They're always running.
They're like, always running. I don't know what it is, but
I don't know. I tried to get into running like some years ago, and like, honestly, it's just not for me. It is just not for me. And no, I wanted to get into running because like I felt like that would be a time where I could like listen to like podcasts, listen to like, you know,
it is find that right music. Like, for me, I don't run to podcasts. That's what like
they said,
music.
They said that I should find the right music.
Find the right music, and bro.
That's what they said. Me too. I tried. I wore running shoes, running shorts. I was ready. It did not work. After that, I think running is just not for me. It's just a very, very interesting sport.
Yeah.
But yeah.
Yeah. So I just wonder, like, if you are, like, let us know. But it's like, I also wonder, I mean, going through our stories is very easy to see where we internalized it from. But like, why
what?
Why is skinny seen as the good thing?
Because it's crazy how we all reference wanting to lose weight to be skinnier and so on, and not the other way around.
Yeah, because like, fat people have always, I use fats very like relatively, like, I mean, like, bigger people have always existed in our society. Like, where is this coming from?
It's actually interesting because, like, I don't think, like, in Nigeria, well, I mean, let me not say Nigeria as a whole, but like, so like Nigerian adults, I don't think that being skinny is the goal, because it's like when you lose an excessive amount of weight, because okay, for instance, you know how I was talking about how they'd compare they'd compare me to my sister, and they're like, you're fatter, yada yada yada, but in the same breath they will also say stuff like, she's too skinny.
Yeah.
So I feel like, yeah, I don't know that skinny is also the goal.
I think now. I think our culture is changing because we're being more westernized.
Yeah. I think it might be the goal now, but like, I think back when we were younger, I don't know that, well, for me anyways, I don't know that I saw skinny, and even now I still don't see skinny as being a goal. Like I said, I just want to lose some weight to be fitter, but I don't think like I saw that Nigerian adults saw skinny to be the goal. I think, I'm not sure what they, I can't really place my finger on where they would have liked me to fall in.
Average, as they say.
I think it's average. Yeah, I don't think it was skinny, because it's like, you would lose weight and they'd be like, eat more, so like, you know, you don't look like you're sick. Like, they'll say stuff like, oh, I can see the bones on your chest. Like,
oh my,
you know,
gosh, I actually had a family friend growing up that we used to call Bonga Fish. And
exactly.
I think she's probably also grown up with issues with her weight too, because it's like, it goes either way. Like, people always, like, how can you identify someone with their weight. Bunga fish. That's literally no, and I swear I didn't know this girl's name until like we were older.
I am screaming.
Because that's literally what we called her. But yeah.
That is so crazy. But yeah, no, like I think there was definitely like a middle. I just don't know what the middle was. Mm-hmm. But like I know like they didn't want to see the bones on your neck, but at the same time, they probably didn't maybe want your arms flabbing. I'm not really sure what it was. But yeah, I don't know that skinny was the goal back then, anyways, for Nigerian aunties and uncles. Mm-hmm. But maybe it is, like I feel like you said, we are definitely becoming more westernized, and now especially among the youths.
The youths.
And Desmond Elliott, of course.
But he's one of the youths, so you can't really put his everything.
But I think like now, like, you know, being skinny or like, you know, having a specific body shape is a goal. But like even back then, I don't even think like there was like emphasis on like a specific body shape. Like, you know how now there's like emphasis on like almost that like figure eight. Mm-hmm. Yeah, or like eight. But back then, I don't even think that there was emphasis at all on like a specific body shape.
No, it was just skinny or fat. It or was, medium.
So,
yeah.
So yeah. It was whether you're skinny or fat, so far you're a woman and you know how to look good. That's it. That's all.
Honestly, being a woman in Nigeria is not easy. There's just so many forces coming on you, like so many expectations. Like, you know, you can't just be who you are. There's just so many things. But I think when I was younger, it was normal for women to gain weight when they got married and stuff, because it made them look like, you know, health. Now your husband is taking care of you. But now I think with the newer age, like rich class, it's almost seen as you've let go of yourself, you know, that kind of thing. But I read somewhere that it's because body weight is seen as a representation of wealth and class. In times when food is scarce, weight is seen as positive. So taking it back to like, you know, back then when like, you know, there's more poor people. So then when you now gain weight, it means you are eating well.
Oh and my everything. God, I have something to say about that.
What?
I read an article similar to that a couple years ago. And I started to wonder, like, okay, this is going to be a very gruesome thought. But I'm like, because they literally used to have like fattening, like some cultures have
fattening rooms. Yeah.
Where they fatten you. And I'm just like, they're talking about hunger and they're talking about fattening somebody up. So I'm like, okay, so what happens if there's no food? Like, are the women going to be the next targets for like, so okay, let's say
would they eat them?
Would they eat them?
Yes, essentially.
I don't think that was it. I really don't think that was it.
Fucking them like cows.
Like cows.
Because I'm like, why is it for the smarter? Why is it the women?
I think it's because they saw that as attractive, because then you gain like hips and like, you know, curves and etc. Yeah. I don't think it's because they were prepping them to be eaten.
I don't think that's it. But you know, it's actually funny though, because I definitely think, like you said, African culture right now is getting a lot like really westernized.
Yeah.
But like, do you remember that movie Fat Girls? One second.
No, I don't. Is it Nollywood?
You know it. You know
it. I must know it.
It was this movie with that Monica babe. Monique.
Yeah, I remember that movie.
I'm almost where I need to be. Monique Fats. Oh my gosh, what is this movie? One second. Fat Girls. I was there now. Fat Girls.
I had not watched it.
Wow. Okay. Well, so essentially the whole idea behind Girls was like, obviously Monique and some other people were fat, and or like they, I guess in the movie they portrayed them as like being like really fat. And honestly, I'm about to butcher the storyline, but what I remember anyways was that like they ended up with like some African men, because like African men really like fat women. So essentially it was the movie was showing that like, you know, African men like fatter babes, because or like just like bigger
fuller
women.
Fuller.
I think that was really the word, fuller women, just because like, you know, it showed that they were more womanly, well fed and all of that fun stuff. And it's interesting because I do think like, you know, back in the days, like you said, like there was a thing about like, you know, men maybe like, or women being like bigger, whatever, they got men, like, you know, men liking that. But like now I think, you know, just with the cultures becoming more westernized, like that has definitely changed. But it was just interesting, like I don't know why, but this conversation just reminded me of that Fat Girls conversation. That Fat Girls movie.
Yeah.
But, yeah.
I have something to say on that even. I feel like generally that movie, you bringing up that movie reminds me of this thing I saw or see on TikTok sometimes where like some girls would be like, people don't rate me here, but back in Africa, I'm a 10.
I'm actually crying.
But yeah, I know, like literally that was actually the premise of the movie. Because I remember like, you know, men in America didn't like her because like, you know, she was too fat and like her other skinnier friends would be getting men. But like nobody really liked her until like this African, I think she went to Africa or something. I'm not even sure where.
Africa is an American movie.
Africa, Sha.
Yeah.
I think she went to like a place in Africa and then like she had met somebody and I think he came to America. Like some of his friends came to America and they saw all these bigger women and they were like in awe and like, oh my gosh, like, you know, this is the woman for me. But yeah.
So then do you think this is another way that we're aspiring to like the Western idea of good looks?
Beauty?
Of beauty, yeah. But like, I mean, there's nothing Western about being skinny. I don't get it.
No, I don't think being skinny is like a Western thing. But like, I do think like, you know, there's a lot about the Western standards of beauty that involve being skinny.
Being skinny.
Yes, I think so.
I wonder where it comes from. Like,
yeah, I really do.
From a strategy, like when you think strategy, like as in terms of evolution and stuff like that.
Yeah.
How is being skinny more attractive than
maybe the animals do not eat bigger. Them because, you know, they don't have.
Maybe they'll be able to run if
and the animals
a predator kills. Yeah.
But it's funny. I feel like what's interesting. Like a lot of people equate being fat to being unfit, and I feel like that, like that's the one where I'm like, it's not. Like, you know, you can look bigger, and like it's actually funny because like my sister and I, like I know if obviously a lot of you might not have seen my sister, but like for people that have seen my sister and I, like there's a stark difference between the way we look.
Mm-hmm.
But like at the height of COVID, when I was working out, I was a lot more fitter than her. Like even now, like I don't think she can climb like 5 flights of stairs without like panting heavily, and I can juggle 5 flights of stairs essentially. So it's like, I think people, I'm not fit, so by the way, I'm not fit. I'm screaming. I do want to specify, I'm currently not fit at all, but like what I'm trying to say is that like, you know, a lot of people equate being skinny or like not being fat to like being fit, and like a lot of times it's not the case. Like you can appear bigger and still be fit.
Yeah.
I think it's just I think it's an interesting correlation to make.
Yeah, apparently they were saying that like with fat phobia has like really bad consequences even in medicine, because apparently like a lot of doctors just like look at bigger people and they're like, okay, the problem is your weight. Mm-hmm. And I think that has been like one of the biggest criticisms, even though there's a lot of criticisms about fat phobia, but it's just like rather than like actually look for the issue, they just equate it to being bigger. And like there's a lot of like conditions that actually cause people to gain like weight thyroid. Easier. Exactly. Yeah, thyroid
like
issues.
PCOS, things like that.
Exactly. So it's
oh my gosh.
Yeah.
Sorry. I want to say something on that real quick. It's actually funny because I feel like that also might also be a westernized thing.
What?
Because I remember like the equating, like just putting fatness as the reason for a lot of like medical conditions or being bigger.
Okay.
I'm not sure, but the reason why I said that is because I remember like I had actually gone back from Canada to Nigeria, so I was already here, and obviously like I said, when I got here I wasn't as active. I mean, I really actually have not been as active as I was in Nigeria. So like obviously I've put on some pounds, and I went back to Nigeria and I can't remember what was happening. I had a knee issue. So it's like every single time I would bend down, you could hear sounds in my knee, but it wasn't actually because of my weight. So like I thought, even me, I was like, oh, it's because of my weight. Ugh, you know, it's because of my weight, yada, yada, yada. So I had gone to the clinic here and like, you know, they had said kind of the same thing, it's because of your weight, but also you need to do like the stretches and like, you know, it would help. And then I had gone back to Nigeria, and obviously like I have a family doctor in Nigeria. I have a doctor in Nigeria. So I went back to Nigeria. I went to go see the doctor just, I don't know why, because I already had like whatever I need to have here to tell me how to make it better. But actually I went back to Nigeria and I went to go see the doctor because I also liked him, just by like me. He was a fun guy. So
okay.
I don't know why I said that. Anyways, and he was like obviously like an orthopedic doctor. So like he also was like, he was specialized in like orthopedic and pediatrics, so he was able to like look at my
why were you going bones. Back to a pediatric doctor?
I don't know.
You still see your pediatrician?
No, I don't see him anymore now.
Okay,
but like
your mama has refused to grow up. Go ahead.
Anyways, so I had gone to see him, and he checked my weight, and like obviously, like I said, I did add some weight, but like he wasn't even like concerned. Like he was just like, oh, like you added some weight, but like he didn't say he added some weight. I was one that was like, oh, like, you know, I added some weight and I think that this might be the reason. And he checked my weight and he's like, bruh, that's not the reason. Yeah. And he literally looked at it like, guy, what are you talking about? Like, that's not the reason. It's because, like, you know, I think he said something about like my tendons or something shall be tight, and I needed to like do some stretches or whatever. And then he gave me, like, he literally printed out like what I needed to, like a list of stretches I needed to do to get it better. And I don't think I had lost weight between whatever time it was that I said, you know, stretches, and it definitely got better. I mean, now I'm a lot bigger than I was then, and my knee doesn't make those sounds. But I really, really remember he checked my weight, and I was what I think would be big, but like, you know, not like too big, but like I was what I think would be big. And he literally looked at me when I was like, oh, I think it's my weight, and he was like, guy, what are you talking about? Like, you know, it is not your weight. Like, he was like, based on your height and like, you know, just like how old you are and just you being a person, he was like, you're not overweight.
And it's so annoying, like when we start like talking about like how medicine is really influenced by society, you start to lose trust in like medicine, to be honest, because it's I guess it's human beings and everything, but it's so scary. It's scary
how much bias goes into.
Yes,
it's crazy. I feel like even with this whole, like, I mean, because there's also the whole BMI thing.
Oh my god, people carry weights
very differently. Especially with muscle, like if you do have some muscle and
muscle
like
mass
that, like even like Imama, you were saying the way you probably have more muscle mass than your sister, for example,
who, oh 100%, even though
she's skinnier, you know, she's not as active, right? And it's like, why doesn't that come into effect when doctors are looking talking at you about to check this. You know, talking about, they just go, oh yeah, it's your weight, yeah,
but sorry, go ahead.
No, you can go ahead, because I feel like I've been talking a lot, and then I'll talk after.
Okay. I read this article somewhere, and again, I'm not a doctor, and I'm not even going to try to act like I understand medicine, but it was this argument about, like, you know, weight and health, and, like, how a lot of people are like, it's literally not your weight that matters and everything, that you can be healthy at any weight. And this doctor in this article was saying that, to be honest, like, if they're to really, really talk about it, it's not 100% true, because for those with a normal blood pressure, blood sugar, cholesterol levels, simply being overweight just makes your risk for heart disease 28% more. So I think it's just, I think, again, my interpretation of things is that it's not that weight doesn't affect your health. It's just that the emphasis that society has put on it and health, like, you know, saying that this person is healthier because they are skinny is not true.
Yeah.
But
I think that's it.
Yeah. Because, for example, for me gaining weight right now, I know that I'm literally not healthy at all. Like, because I haven't been exercising. I know that when I am active, this is not the weight I would be. So it's not really about, it shouldn't be about the weight. Right now it is, unfortunately, because of what society has made me believe. And I'm not blaming society. I'm also trying to like work on that as well. But the emphasis should be on me working out and being healthier, rather than, like, you know, the weight thing, even though sometimes it is a byproduct, but the emphasis really shouldn't be placed on the weight. But yeah. That's all. Yeah,
no, I definitely agree. I do think, like, you know, obviously, kind of like that doctor said, if you are obese, like if you're a specific weight, like it could affect, like, you know, some stuff as it pertains to your health, but like you said, it's not everything.
It's not the end all be all.
It's not the end all be all. Like, it's not like precisely has placed women
in Nigeria who are like big and like they're still going on to live like full, healthy, strong lives.
So I guess to just wrap up the conversation, and honestly, there's so much to talk about when it comes to this. I have a friend that always calls me out on being fat phobic, and I just sometimes feel like that word is now being overused because it's not letting us actually have these discussions. Because it's like, yes, maybe I have internalized fat phobia, but you don't let me talk. I guess that's our society in general these days, but it's like, you don't let me talk about it so I can unlearn some of the things that I have internalized. So it's like, I don't know, I just think there's so much more to talk about with this, and we should keep the conversation going. But honestly, also let people have the freedom to voice, you know, what they have I don't know. What do you guys think about that? Like, you know, they talk about like fat phobia, and like anytime you say, like every time I told that same friend that I wanted to lose weight, she's like, yeah, that's fat phobia, because why do you want to be skinny? Do you get that kind of thing? But it doesn't allow you actually explore the problems and like the areas in your life where you have actually internalized these things. Do you get?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, like I feel like, I mean, for me, I always saw fat phobia as you
being scared of fat people.
No, not be scared.
I was just joking. Like kind of judging someone for being fat or not being able to see or not being able to find big people like attractive. That's what I termed as fat phobia. But then I guess it kind of makes sense how if you are now the one who's big. And like, let's say, for example, let's say it's so crazy because I could be in this apartment gaining weight, and in my mind, maybe I'm not seeing it. I'm just like, I'm working on confidence, working on building bomb, and I'm not noticing myself gaining weight, for example. Mm-hmm. And then suddenly somebody is like, Hadiza, you're gaining weight. And then it's like, all of a sudden, oh my God, I'm gaining weight. Mm-hmm. I don't know how to explain. Like, it's like...
No, I know what you're saying.
Yeah, I don't know why.
It's the external factors, yeah.
Yeah, like, and I don't know why it's like that. Because it's like, when I see big women, like, dress up, I'm just like, damn. Like, I could never have that level of... I want that level of confidence.
Yeah.
But then when it's now...
When it pertains to you.
When it's now me, why is it that, you know, someone is like, oh, Hadiza, you're gaining weight.
I can see how, and like,
I'm like... Oh shit, oh damn. Well, it depends though. I mean, it depends on if I don't mind gaining weight. Like, there's sometimes when somebody's like, oh, you're gaining weight. I'm like, I actually don't mind gaining weight at this point in my life. But there are also points in my life where someone is like, oh, you're gaining weight. I'm like,
and it starts panic. Shit,
no way.
Yeah, and I think, so, I feel like that's kind of what, like, Matilda, like, your friend was maybe referring to. And like, maybe, I mean, maybe there's like more grace that can be, you know, given when having that conversation.
I think it has to.
Fat phobia, I think like a part of fat phobia is definitely being scared of gaining weight, because it's like, why are you scared of gaining weight?
Why are you scared? Yeah, it's deeper.
Yeah, exactly. So,
but then if you don't allow me explore it further, then I would never know where the root of it actually is. Do you get what I mean? Yeah. But like, it's also this really weird thing in society where, yes, we're talking about fat phobia and everything, but then I've had someone actually tell me, I like you at this weight, like your bum has grown. So now, when I go back to exercising, I have this added pressure of trying to keep my bum while I'm losing weight. Yeah, do you get what I mean? So I'm just like, I don't know what society is wanting from me at this point in time, but I think
I feel like, yeah, I agree.
Because even
like,
all the fitness influencers, they look the same. Like, it's like they're not even skinny. Like, when you think about it, like, they don't look skinny. They just have a specific shape.
Honestly, if you follow what society wants you to look like, you have headache, because they want you to look like something different every time. Here and there. And like, to be honest, that's actually the summary of this thing, because you just have to be happy where you are and try to strive to be your healthier self, because society's standard of beauty is always going to change. Like, now it's no longer skinny from when I was in secondary school and stuff like that. So it's just plastic surgeries. Like, and like the rate at which it has increased now, and like before I was like, oh, is it just people talking about it more that it's starting to feel like it is? But there's stats, Hadiza, like plastic surgeons are saying like the rate at which people are getting plastic surgery is actually surging.
That's crazy. You know what plastic surgery I've been eyeing a lot recently.
Which one?
The hairline surgery.
Have
you guys seen the hairline?
I have
going around,
and I will tell you that I haven't actually considered it.
What is wrong with you guys' hairlines?
I don't know.
It's not now. But I'm thinking about the future. I looked at my ancestry and my ancestors.
Their hairline pushes back.
Their hair used to recede.
I didn't say anything, but I said, you know, maybe I should keep in the books. Maybe I should budget. You know, just.
Yeah,
that's actually crazy.
Yeah, it's going up, and it's just like, yeah, you get plastic surgery now, so in 10 years when the beauty standard changes, are you going to now grant beauty?
How does that work? If you tell you so that they want your hair to start from the middle.
You don't know. It should maybe in 10 years the it'll be in vogue for your for you to have no edges.
You know what? What most likely will happen is I'll probably go bald. I actually see
what?
I actually think that I might start losing hair within the next, like, that I don't want to.
I need to see your ancestors.
I really do. I'm curious.
I would like to see your ancestors, please.
I feel
please.
Like I'm going to start losing hair within the next, like, 30.
Even the women?
30 to 40 years. Yeah, women.
Okay,
so,
okay.
So I've already started to think about.
Like, hey, but we're black wigs, isn't it?
Wigs, you know, if I want to. But I feel like at that age, I wouldn't want to be wearing wigs like that.
What would change?
I pictured myself having, you know, long gray hair.
Mm.
Or just shaving.
Guys, surgery day for you.
Absolutely.
I love how we're talking about embracing yourself, but we're also like, maybe think about it. But it's honestly, that conversation about surgery too is also very nuanced, and I think we should talk about it. I just listened to like a recent episode from, I Said What I Said, where they had like a plastic surgeon come on and stuff. I feel like there's more stuff that can be delved into in that topic. But yeah, how can we approach our weights in a healthier way?
I think it's kind of like what you said. Everybody should just strive to be the healthier version of themselves.
Mm-hmm.
And I also think like positive reinforcements, to be honest, because I like if growing up I didn't have that positive reinforcements at home,
mm-hmm.
like I can't even imagine like what my relationship with weight would be like right now, because mm-hmm. like I've definitely like, you know, I've definitely gained a lot of weight, especially like you, honestly, in the lockdown I have gained a lot of weight, and like I've seen my body move from like one place to the other. I like very very interested, like, you know, visualization. But I feel like, you know, when you do have that positive reinforcement or just like whatever it is, like people in your corner letting you know that you are beautiful anyways, mm-hmm. like, you know, we love you the way you look. I mean, yes, you can be healthier, but like last you look good and we love you. So I think like, you know, positive reinforcement is definitely important. Well, I think so, and also just striving to be the healthiest that you can be as a person.
Mm-hmm. Just to build on what you said, I think that positive reinforcement but risky lover,
leave it in, don't cut it out.
I'll cut it out. Yeah, but the positive reinforcement is necessary when you are younger, because honestly, if right now my friends were like, oh, you look good, it's not going to resound on me as much as it did growing up, because I feel like in your formative years, that's actually when you internalize a lot of these things, and when you grow older, people's comments don't really, like, it's not really the game changer at that point in time. So I think it's really thinking about how we raise children, to be honest, because I still see it happen where people still comment on weights, like my sister's weight. In fact, to be honest, I'm a culprit to this whole thing where you like, you see someone, you're like, wow, you've lost a lot of weight, or you see someone and you're like, oh, you're bigger. Like, why does that need to be necessarily like, it's not an opening speech. Like, dude, it's not a greeting. Ah, you've lost weight. And it's so big in our culture, you know? So it's just, I think approaching it from that point in time to like, just, I feel like there's space to be like, if it comes up in conversation and be like, oh, how have you been eating in pandemic, blah, 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 and stuff like that, you know, I'm exercising. I don't know. I think.
No, I don't understand.
I think that they are
asking me. How
No. I think they
are. Are you feeding me? Or are you trying to send me food?
Maybe they want to order you.
Maybe they want to order you food.
Maybe they want to order me food. It's true.
No, but what I mean is there are organic ways it comes up. That's probably not one of them.
I'm sorry. I just can't get past it. Have you been eating it?
Shut up. That's obviously not one of them, but there are organic ways that these things come up with people you actually know and care about. It's not like strangers.
Some rice.
Mama, shut up, please. Now let's wrap up this episode. But like people that are actually really close to you and like talk to you daily, not like some auntie that you haven't seen in years just comes and she's like, the first thing she has to say to you is, ah, you've lost weight, or ah, you've gained weight, ah, what have you been eating? It's as if you need to go on a diet, just, you know, that kind of thing.
It's as if,
no, but they say that kind of thing, like, ah.
Yeah, no, they do.
It's like, ah, I've heard of this diet, so maybe you want to try it. Like, they just shade you like that. But yeah, I think that's it. I really think that Even Imama, for example, your relationship with weight, I still look at it as your parents did a really good job in helping you grow when you were growing up. Cause like, even though, as you said, you are bigger, I don't think I've seen it affect you as much as it has affected me, who is, like, as I said, yeah, in my childhood,
you're confident.
You're pretty confident. Confident. Do you get what I mean?
Thanks, guys. Wow. It's like compliments.
But yeah. I actually see the, like, it's really like your childhood and stuff that is where it's important and stuff like
that. Shout out to the Igyonus or whatever.
Shout out, you know?
Or whatever.
Yeah.
Are you regretting saying your last name?
No, like,
it's true. They found you.
Well, I mean,
yeah,
it's too late now.
For Hadiza?
Okay, I agree with everything you said in terms of teach your child the way, you know, lead your child the way you want them to grow. So you have to...
Shake cutting scripture.
Lead your child the way you want them to grow.
I don't know the scripture, but it sounds something like that, Sha.
Yeah.
So essentially, of course, a lot of positive reinforcement. And, you know, I feel like even as an adult, like it's always a good thing to sit and like explore reasons why, you know, you feel a certain way about your weight, and, you know, like do some they call it work. inner work. Yeah. Do some inner work. Talk to
where were you going
child.
There? Inner child. Okay. Mm-hmm,
No, cause it's part of it. They say inner child, inner work thing, do some inner work and like, you know, try and find the roots and see if you can heal that and stuff like that. So you can go on to have a healthy relationship with yourself. And I feel like confidence matters more than anything else and stuff like that. So. Mm-hmm. You know, and being healthy more than anything, because that radiates through regardless of what weight you are. So yeah, that's what I have to say about that.
Yeah. All right, guys. I think that's it from us today. Don't forget the giveaway. You can win $100. And that's money, as we've said in the beginning. That's money. It's really money. And also keep an eye out for our YouTube. Just to reiterate, we honestly have amazing content lined up for you guys.
It's actually really good, guys.
I know. Not to toot our horns or anything, but like, yeah. And then follow us ahead of when we drop. We will be back again in August, and watch this space. Follow us on social media at AfricaLipsoPod. And yeah, we will really miss you guys. You guys, I really love podcasting.
Honestly, like, I'm feeling like I'm actually going to miss this. Like, I'm going to miss this for the months that we're gone.
The month we were off, I was just listening to so many podcasts, and I'm just like, I have something to say.
And oh my gosh, a lot are put in Nigeria, actually.
A lot. But yeah, we'll be back in August and we'll be much better. So yeah, this is for the better of all of us.
Bigger and
so.
Better and bigger.
Yeah, that's so. Exactly that. All right, bye.
Bye. Stay safe.
Peace out.